Good evening, everybody. It's 6:30 on a Monday night on Planet FM. Welcome to the Third and Footlong Show. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Ah, good evening, DT. How are you?
Good.
Yes, survived the weekend. Survived Vianu or whatever it was called that just brushed its flag down the coast.
I know, and you're in deep south.
I am. Central Otago, where there is no sign
of any cyclone.
As a matter of fact, it's been a sunny day down here in Central Otago. So as always, don't forget to follow us on YouTube, where you will see live versions of the show, Facebook, where you can do the food polls, and TikTok, where you'll see all our latest trend nonsense, which for some reason is surprisingly entertaining for a lot of people these days.
Yeah, well, you have a pretty sassy walk, so...
Yes, a few people did comment on my sassy walk. Someone sent me a personal messenger. I won't tell you what they said, but I don't think it was complimentary, let's put it that way.
Oh, Darren, no.
I know. Just one of the things you got to put up with when you put yourself out there. But I'll tell you what was interesting. When I turned up for a couple of events last week before I went away, the main question I got off people, because they saw the video, which didn't perform massively well on YouTube, but however, a lot of people saw it on other platforms, was the colour blindness video. A lot of people were like, have you bought those glasses? What are they like? So it now looks like that when I get back, I'm going to have to book this eye test appointment with this clinic in Albany, and I'm going to have to go and go through the motions, because the amount of people that came up to me and asked, did it work? And then when I said, oh, no, I'm just looking at it through the video, oh, so it was a scam. I was like, no, I didn't think it was a scam. I was just like, so there was so much interest in this colorblindness stuff that we posted last week, so it's going to be really interesting.
I thought it was interesting, which is why I pulled it out.
And I'm going to try and film as best as I can going through the process, turning up, going in. I don't know whether the clinic will let me film going through the test or not, or trying the glasses, so I'm really interested. But my wife's like, no, given the interest in this and given what happened last weekend when you started seeing stuff, you have to go and do this now. You've got to go and finish this off. So,
yeah.
If nothing else, that content was quite interesting to people. So,
yeah, well, it is. It's about you and your struggles. But,
Yes. So it's been going on for like 40 years. So, for over 40 years. So, it would be miraculous if it changed. So,
might be able to sell a logo.
I can tell you some content. I know. I'll be like, that colour? What on earth did we pick that colour for? So, I'll tell you some content that did get people going. The food poll content. The bread content. Yes. Well, I was going to start it off as just a straight butter versus margarine thing, which a few people actually asked in the poll, why didn't you just do that? Which was what I was going to do, but then it extended into this wild foray of all things spreads. So, yeah, maybe I should have just kept it to two, right?
It's all good. Butter all the way.
Well, again, we'd been so long with a one-sided poll. Then two come along, one after the other. So, well, what we had is on 3% was honey. Mm-hmm. None of the above was 3%. On 4%, Nutella, which I actually thought would have done better. Some other vegan tosh also got 4%. As you could see, I was reaching out to our vegan listeners. 5% marmalade. God. Would you eat marmalade?
I use it as a spread on the Christmas ham. It's a glaze. It's actually pretty good. It's the glaze, so yeah.
One that surprised me, only 8% for jam. I thought jam was the way. But obviously not. Obviously jam's an old person thing. 12% peanut butter. Mm-hmm. Get your protein. Are you a peanut butter person? You were a peanut butter person, weren't you?
Yes, I did. I'm a jam person.
Yeah. The thing that caused the most controversy is that I put Marmite and Vegemite together. Oh!
Yeah, I didn't know why you did that.
People going, how dare you put those two together? Yeah, because they're both disgusting. And they're black, tarry, horrible, like, Aren't they? And they both end in mite. It kind of seemed reasonable.
No, they're both yeast-based bread.
Okay. But... maybe just me. That got 14%. Did those two.
Yeah.
And then margarine, so we go to the last two. Margarine got 5. Like, did... I don't believe that. I'm not buying that. Because if you buy flora and stuff like that...
No.
I don't buy that only 5% of the people voted. Eat margarine.
It's always in stock at the supermarket, so...
I know, but that's so much around. Butter was 42.
Yeah.
42.
Gotta add the butter.
Yeah, I know. It did go well. When I go through the comments, the main controversy was around me, pairing Marmite and Vegemite together. That was not a popular move. Let me just get a quick comment. Let's just have a look what we've got.
I was surprised when you paired them together. I knew why you did it, because I know you don't like either of them, so there was no thought to the fact that people have preference.
Corin said, because Corin was there, Craig likes his dry. That's what I've read on the graffiti in the public toilets in Huntley.
Wow.
Oh, dear. And then Craig responded with, yep, I noticed that you frequent those toilets often.
Frequent.
Sophia, I can't believe you combine Marmite and Vegemite in the same sentence, but thank you for being wonderfully inclusive of vegans. She obviously did not read the vegan Tosh comment underneath. It was Corin's birthday this week, actually, so a few people wished him happy birthday. Pip from Christchurch, I have a problem with this poll. Butter and Marge should have their own category. For me, every choice is butter. Craig was like, Vegemite and Marmite should not be grouped together. Marmite is God's gift to New Zealand and perfect in every way. Vegemite, on the other hand, is dry, disgusting, and should not be allowed in supermarkets, just like Corin.
do you eat peanut butter on toast?
Yeah, love peanut butter.
Do you put butter and then peanut butter?
100% butter first,
Okay. I don't put butter.
Oh, it's too clag.
The only time I put butter and a spread is Marmite or Vegemite and butter. The rest of them is all straight. I don't want butter messing up my spread.
I reckon you put butter on something before Vegemite. You know when you have to drink something like Coke before taking a tablet because the tablet's disgusting? I reckon that's why people put butter on before Vegemite, to try and hide the taste of Vegemite.
It doesn't hide the taste of Vegemite, but sure.
No, nothing does it. And when you get it on your hand, like, you almost have to get a scouring brush to get it off. It just, ugh.
I really want to know.
Ugh, nasty.
That's nice.
Emma was like, where's the lemon curd? To which I replied, this is not a dessert poll. Chantel in Sydney, no Nutella. This is when there was no Nutella. Discrimination against chocolate lovers.
There's hazelnut there.
And then Reese put, so many insults, but so little time. So there we go. There is this week's food poll. Again, controversy again. So if you want to be part of our food polls, follow our Facebook page. We put a vote up there every single week.
And now you'll have to do Marmite versus Vegemite, won't you?
It kind of feels like it, doesn't it? But it feels like it's going to be interesting whether the New Zealanders answer one way and the British answer another, because we've got a wide collection of listeners from both parts of the world.
In New Zealand and England, it's both called Marmite. So unless you're specifying British Marmite, which is disgusting.
Australian, isn't it?
Yeah, Vegemite is Australian.
Mm-hmm. That's probably why everyone was on the hate camp. Mm-hmm. See, because I don't eat both, I'm kind of like, they're both ass. So put them together.
Yes, I know that's why that happened. Should we move on to the news?
Yes, there's some very interesting news this week.
What was your very interesting news?
Well, I've got two. I'm going to go for the... neither of them are what you would call glowingly positive, although one of them, depends where it lands, will be. But the very interesting news for me this week is the San Francisco 49ers versus the NFL.
They have
publicly, again, Kyle Shanahan has publicly come out and said he is not a fan of the Australia game. He does not really want to play the Australia game, but he understands that the league want to be global. But as far as I'm concerned, there's absolutely no benefit to me or my team going there.
So I think personally the benefit is the league makes more money than Kyle Shanahan makes more money. So that would be the personal benefit to him, I would think personally.
And probably there's then going to be a salary cap increase. But interestingly as well, Christian McCaffrey came out and said this is not good, the journey's too long. And then this week, actually interestingly enough, was Goodell's first ever time in Australia. And he just yapped on about his wife sending him an app about how to control his sleep, and he's never felt better. But what I didn't know about this is the 49ers lobbied hard for this game. Sorry, yeah. The Seahawks, sorry, lobbied hard for this game, and the NFL sent the 49ers. Now, I can only imagine that's because of global fan base.
Yeah.
The 49ers are marketing. Way more popular globally than the Seahawks.
And the Seahawks would have been going after it for marketing because it's good for your brand if you're bigger. Yeah.
And the NFL's looked around the world and gone, well, we don't need to send the Super Bowl champions because every single game we do globally sells out. And they knew already there was 150,000 people signed up. They knew Melbourne was going to sell out. They did not need to send the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was interesting. Goodell said coaches have to focus on winning. That's their number one job. Coach Shanahan is an enthusiastic, great coach, also someone who truly understands the importance of expanding our game. But his job is to win. So it was interesting that, but it's so funny, they're just all moaning about a time difference. It's like, come on, guys. It's like, seriously?
I have to say, growing up in New Zealand, I don't really think much about flying for many hours because you just have to do it to get anywhere. So,
On the day they went on sale and the only tickets that were left were the meal and ticket package, they were $3,000 Australian.
Oh, yeah. No, it's ridiculous. It's gone well overinflated in terms of ticket pricing.
But to be fair, you know, we've seen this around the world. The NFL is enormous globally, you know. And every game in Munich sells out, every South American game, every
Spain.
London game, Spain, they're selling out everywhere.
Paris is going to sell out, and that's going to be a really fun crowd.
Yes, yeah, Stade de France, that's going to sell out massively. So
with the Saints fans, oh, that's going to be so cool.
With all of those links back to France, right, it's going to be outstanding. So
cool.
Did you have any news you wanted to share?
Well, I think one of the big news items is Dexter Lawrence requesting a trade from the Giants.
Yes.
It's interesting because he's obviously kind of a contract-based move, but he did not have a very good season last year. He didn't perform well. He was injured. And he has under 20 mil due for the next 2 years, which is actually very reasonable for what you would say is a top 10 defensive tackle in the league. So there's a few teams that might want him.
Yeah. Dontavian Wicks, Packers to Eagles. Interesting trade.
Yes, maybe shoring up the depth on the wide receiver room until you make a trade away. And then Mendoza not attending the draft was the other big one.
Yeah, that is a big piece of news, actually, especially if as anticipated. I'd like to know the last time a number one didn't go to the draft.
Mariota did. No, he went second, though, didn't he?
Yeah. I'd be interested to check that one out and do a fact check on that. Mm. But, of course, the massive sort of off-field news of the week was Vrabel and Rossini. Obviously, that is now putting the wrong kind of attention back onto New England. And it's interesting, if you look back on some of Rossini's interviews from the last 6 months, this was almost being foreshadowed in some of those interviews. So it's going to be interesting to play out. There's a lot of people have come out and said that her career is now seriously in jeopardy because of the way that it's played out. And, of course, Vrabel, this is not one New England won. You know, New England have not been far from controversy, and it's just more. So a bit of a distraction for everybody coming into the but naturally that one will play out how it plays out.
And then ending on a positive note for our news, Falcons right to tackle Caleb McGarry retires. Nice for him. Happy
Congrats
wishes to his next journey.
Yes. Congrats to him, indeed.
And shall since we're talking draft, shall we move on?
Let's go.
To the draft.
Yes, indeed. Draft prospects. So 12 positions that we've looked at. We've both given our who are we looking forward to seeing in the NFL type of scenario. Do you want to go first with your QB?
With my QB, so this is not the top prospect, but our favourite prospect. So it's not the best one, but it's one I'm most excited to see. And I have to say, with the QB, I thought a lot about this because I didn't want to go Mendoza because I thought it's a bit stock. But weirdly, I had not come across this quarterback. And I watched his tape, and he's just very exciting, and I think he'll be fun. He'll probably end up as a special teamer, but I actually went with Cole Payton out of North Dakota State. I did not know about him before I did this exercise. He's great running ability. He's definitely lacking the reps because he only really played for 1 year. But he is a lefty, which is always fun, so he could go to the Falcons to join their left-handed quarterback room. But in reality, I think he should go somewhere like the Chargers or maybe join Jaden Daniels in Washington because his processing and kind of how he gets the ball out isn't fantastic in his mechanics. But he's just a little fun quarterback that I enjoyed watching tape on this week. How about you?
Yeah, look, I mean, Mendoza's the obvious choice, right? Because can he transfer? But then there's all this under center type stuff going on. And then there's this huge discussion coming out of nowhere of whether Simpson and Mendoza are closer in the draft to what you think. One guy, though, I mean, not unsurprisingly, I am interested to see in the NFL because his college career just went all over the place. So it'd be good to see where he would land is Garrett Nussmeier from LSU.
Are you surprised I didn't pick Taylen Green? Are you surprised?
You're a little razorback there or whatever, but I think Taylen Green's going to end up with something else. I think he could be great.
Tight end or wide receiver.
Tight end or wide receiver.
Fabulous athlete, yeah.
So Garrett Nussmeier, that's a guy that needs a career. He's probably going to be a fifth or sixth round pick. I don't think he's going in the top three rounds. I think you may only see two quarterbacks go in round one. Somebody desperate for a backup, like we talked about before we came on air, the Rams could take a shot on a Nussmeier in the second or third round. But, I think we both agree the obvious choice was Mendoza, so avoiding that.
Yes. I'll let you go first, a wide receiver, as the offensive man.
Yeah, this was a tough one because there's really no stars in this year's draft. You know, there's no Chase, there's no Jefferson, there's no Neighbors. The one I do really like to see, I would love to see, is Carnell Tate. It's an obvious one from the Ohio State. No drops at all last season. That is remarkable.
Yeah. When he goes up, he comes down. That ball is in his hands.
But the reason I'm interested to see that is, can he reproduce that in the NFL when he's getting hit at hard speeds and stuff like that?
Okay. My wide receiver was Zachariah Branch from Georgia. I just enjoyed watching tape on him. He's electric. He's nifty. He does the little yak. It's just speed. Good catch rate. And overall, he also offers special teams, which is always good. So that will be interesting to see him in the punt return game. I would really love if he went to a creative play caller, like maybe the Rams or the Falcons also need a wide receiver three. So that could be like fun, you know, keep him in the Georgia area. But yeah, I did think about Malachi Fields because I love a big man that can run, but no, I went with Zachariah Branch.
Yeah, what was the other one I was looking at? I was looking at somebody else. Oh, Mekhi Lemon.
Yeah, so again, electric,
Electric, yeah. Do you want to go first on the running back? This was hard as well.
Oh, it wasn't hard for me because you know where I'm going, Darren. I'm going to my Razorback.
Yes.
Mike Washington Jr. I enjoyed watching him when he was playing for my team last year. He's just big and can move. And when he gets going, he gets rolling. It's explosive. It's fun. He ran a 4.33 yard, 40 yard dash, which is just like, he is a large man and he is moving. So I'd love if he actually went to the Broncos, who I keep saying need a running back, or if he went to the Seahawks, who just lost kind of their bruiser. So yeah.
For me, I was caught between the two Notre Dame guys of Jadarian Price and Jeremiah Love. I plumbed on Love simply because the only thing I feared about Love is whether he became another Ashton Gentry. Real high expectations. And I mean, 4.36 speed, elite receiving, high-end contact balance, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, 35 touchdowns, like, long plays. He's kind of got everything. yes. And caught 64 catches in his career. So he's a good two-way weapon, and I'd be interested to see, after Genty really hasn't fired yet, it'd be good to see quality running backs back in the NFL, because it kind of is a really underappreciated position.
Yeah, but they still need an O-line, because that was why Genty just failed. He got mid in the backfield so many times.
Yeah, he just couldn't get out the backfield, right?
Yeah, so hopefully, Love ends up somewhere with an O-line, otherwise, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, Jeremiah Love, a little bit tall for your average running back, 6 foot, 212 pounds. So, he's going to absorb a few hits, but depending on where he goes, he's rumoured to be going 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. So, if he dropped to 9, he could end up at the Chiefs or somewhere, but it'd be interesting.
They don't actually have that great O-line, so.
No.
What about tight end, Darren?
I didn't see a great class here at all.
I really didn't see a
great class.
The past few years, there's been some fantastic tight ends coming out, but this year it's
average.
I don't think there's a complete tight end. I think there's lots of very good tight ends who are good at one thing. So there's lots of pass catching tight ends, there's blocking tight ends, but there's no one who's put both together.
No. Kenyon Sadiq.
Mm-hmm.
Ran the fastest combine by a tight end ever. 4.39. Huge vertical threat from the tight end position. Set the Oregon record for receptions by a tight end in a season. But, it's not a great class.
No. I have actually an ex-QB who is now a tight end. I have Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt.
Yes. He was second on my list.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. He's more of a wide receiver than a tight. He does none of the blocking. It is all just pass catching, really. I think he'd be fun if he goes out to like a Rams or Broncos. Someone who needs a pass catching tight end. I think the Broncos fans would probably be quite happy if they got a nice pass catching tight end as one of their larger needs. So, yeah. Or he could end up Ravens, who just lost Isaiah Likely, who was their pass-catching tight end. So I think he needs to go somewhere with an established tight end who can block, because don't ask him to do that.
No. Offensive line, do you want to kick that one out?
Yes, offensive line, always fun to talk about. I went with Francis Maigoa from Miami. Basically, I went, who is the most aggressive and angry offensive lineman out there? Because that's my absolute favorite. The ones who just completely pancake and squish everyone and smother the edge rushers. So that's why I ended up on him.
And I went with Francis Maigoa from Miami. He's been a starter for 3 years. High-level pass protection. Only allowed 2 sacks and 6 pressures last season. And has played 2,700 career snaps, so has got some real kind of stuff behind him.
Do you know where I think you should go?
Go on.
The Lions.
Yeah.
They need that grip back.
They're kind of one short, aren't they? They're kind of one short.
And imagine if they got that amount of anger back with Penei Sewell and then him. Oh, that would be a fantastic line again. Yeah.
So, Edge.
Mm-hmm.
This was the hardest one for me, without doubt. This was the hardest. This is a great edge class, and I don't want to be the Jets at 2 having to decide who I want to pick here, because you're either picking with high upside or you're picking with can play today at high level. Avell Reese and David Bailey, Ohio State and Texas Tech. I went with Reese purely because he's just such an elite athlete with length first to left. Just the downside for Reese is he's so fast and he hits so hard that there were games last year where he was like thrown out the game because they thought he was targeting, when actually when they reviewed it, it was just that he was so elite. And just
the other thing is he's at that level and he hasn't really played that position that much.
No.
So this is him is like a beginner. So imagine where he's going to be in 2 or 3 years. He'll be insane.
The upside of him. He's been linked with similar to Micah Parsons.
So I went for unsurprisingly, a very intense edge rusher. As you know, I love a little bit of anger in my defensive picks. And I went with the power bull rush king of the draft, Zion Young out of Missouri. Oh. It's like one of my favorite edge rushers, like moves to watch. He doesn't have many other moves, so he needs to work on his technique and kind of develop a bit more finesse in terms of his rushing. But he just drives people back. It's just an instant boom, and then you are back and you are crushed.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love watching that. So that is why he got my bit, because he will hit you and you will feel it. And,
you'll know for about two plays after, you will know.
So he would be amazing, actually, again, on our lines, because someone needs to be opposite Aiden Hutchinson. And Aiden Hutchinson, way more finesse. If you just have someone who's on the opposite side of him driving people back, that would be fantastic for us. Or otherwise, you know where I'm going with this one. Wouldn't he be great on the Texans?
Yes. Your favorite defense ever.
It gets more angry and more intense. I would love it so much.
Yeah, because they need to be dirtier and angrier, right?
Yes, they do.
Not.
They do. No, they do. So, yeah, linebacker, I think we probably might have the same player here, potentially.
You go first.
I have Sonny Styles.
Yep, me too. 6'5", 244, 4.4640. And a three-down defender, one you can rely on every single Sonny Styles, Ohio State. Absolutely.
I would love if he went somewhere with an established linebacker, because I think it would be great if he wasn't relied on being the kind of... If he could just play freely and roam and do his pass coverage, it would be great if he had someone who's already established there to lead the defense. So what I thought would be interesting is actually Patriots with Mike Vrabel, or Commanders with Frankie Louvu, or the Seahawks defense, because if Mike McDonald got a hold of him, that defense would just be insane. So that's kind of where I kind of would like him to go, but I don't think he will.
You know he's going to end up at the Eagles. You just know that, right?
I know. He'll somehow drop.
Yeah,
he'll drop to like 27 and they'll trade back in and get him.
They'll get him, absolutely. Anthony Hill Jr. was second on my list. Another three-down playmaker, Anthony Hill Jr. from Texas. Cornerback, Mansoor Delane from LSU. I had to put one in, right? I had to get LSU in somewhere. Pass coverage, quick hands. Because on my original list, I didn't have Nussmeier. I actually had Ty Simpson, and Nussmeier was my last-minute change. So, just ball hawk. High pass breakup, multiple interceptions. So, obviously, out of Virginia Tech originally and then ended up at LSU. So, I've got Mansoor Delane in that position.
Okay, well, I have a younger brother, Avion Terrell from Clemson, the younger brother of AJ Terrell. Just because I actually always find it interesting when younger brothers come into the league, when they've got a brother who's put, like, it's kind of when TJ Watt came in. That's interesting to see the career arc. Like, AJ Terrell is a very, very good corner for the Falcons and has been for quite a few years. I also enjoy, again, because AJ Terrell, known for his physicality, known for enforcing his will on the wide receivers, dominant, physical, love it. Could see him kind of as a slot cornerback because he's a bit smaller. And again, wouldn't that be fun if he ended up with the Texans? But otherwise, I actually think he'd be quite good for the Lions because they do need some depth in the backfield, and it would be good if we got a slot cornerback there. Or Ravens need a cornerback, and so do the Seahawks, actually, since they just lost their good cornerback too.
Have you ever thought of writing to the Texans and ask if you could be their overseas brand ambassador? Because you are just in love with the Texans.
No, I'm in love with the Texans' defense. Their offense, I'm sorry, what is happening over there?
Yeah.
Defense.
Yeah. They've kind of got that feel, right? They've got that feel.
Yep.
Safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could end up with the same here, you know, maybe.
I've got Rocket Man. I'm calling him Rocket Man from Toledo.
Oh, no, I have not got him, no.
Who do you have?
No, Caleb Downs.
Okay, go.
So some are thinking that he's actually the most talented player in the draft. Yes.
And I'm like, phew, that's a name and a half to throw out on someone.
It's a big comparison. It's like when they you know, are projecting people to really, you know, Von Miller and people like that. It's like, these are Super Bowl MVPs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
what
you can't.
You're killing them before they get in the league.
Oh, every time, yeah, like Von Miller's another one, like Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, and especially like when people compare people to Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, and you kind of go, no.
Who's very the guy one-off from the people, Rams? Yeah. Who was the guy?
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, like just.
Who got veteran rest days because he was too much? Like he got veteran rest days because he was too much in practice. Yeah,
and we will finish off with.
I didn't talk about my Toledo Rocketman.
Oh no, sorry. Keep go. Sorry, do.
I'm more interested in this because Quinion Mitchell has been a very good cornerback for the Eagles. So I just think it's interesting that you might have again another really good defensive back come out of Toledo. He again, surprise, surprise, very aggressive, punishing defender who people say you feel his presence on the field. And I absolutely love when that statement goes with a cornerback or a safety because that means they hit and they tackle. So I think it'd be interesting. He'll probably end up being a box safety, but he does have the speed to go coverage. And I actually don't want him with the Texans, although, you know, I'd love him with the Texans. I think he should go to the Cowboys, who just picked up the ex-Eagles defensive back who just, again, trained up Quinion Mitchell. So I think that would be interesting if the Cowboys picked him up. Or either Vikings or Brian Flores, because his defense is also aggressive. There's kind of a theme here with my defenders. I enjoy the
Yeah, they're the hard, ones. They hurt people, and, yeah, intense. In your face! Yeah.
You know when they're there.
That's right. Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Your defensive
and you still
tackle.
Feel defensive this tackle? This was hard. I narrowed it down to two. I was almost going to wild card with Caden McDonald from Ohio State. 320 pounds, like plug and play, high floor prospect. But yeah, it was hard to look away from Peter Woods at Clemson.
Yeah.
6'2", 298, 31 and a quarter inch arm length. He's going to be impressive when he comes out.
So I'm sticking to Orange Fiend, but I'm going with actually who I started off this series and got introduced to in the first college football game I ever watched that came out of Ireland, and it is Big Citrus. From Iowa State. Because Big really? Citrus, fantastic name.
Yes. Wonderful. Fantastic. Yes. Fantastic name. Big Citrus.
I do love, because he's an old school kind of nose tackle. He's thick, as you'd say. He has long arms. He will plug the gap. He will stop the run. He can penetrate the pocket if you want him to, but like he is just there to swallow people. And I like one of my favorite players ever is a nose tackle defensive lineman, Haloti Ngata. I just think nose tackle is a very underappreciated and very important part of a 3-4 defense. So I think he has a fun personality as well because Big Citrus, like,
yes,
you just genuinely can't get better than that nickname. And I think he probably will end up like Seahawks or Titans because you kind of need to go to a defense that values the nose tackle, which quite a lot of them don't, because they don't tend to be ones that can run. Although you did get that nose tackle of the Ravens, who is just retired. Who remember when he did that like interception? And he ran maybe two steps, then went, "Nah, I'm not doing that."
Yeah,
383 pounds, and just took a knee. It was like, "Nah, I'm good." And he actually retired, I think, after that game. So, yeah.
Who was the other guy that had the great nickname? Was it the Thicker Kicker or something like that?
Yeah, Thicker Kicker, the Rams.
Thicker Kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. There's our top position of who we'd most like to see in the NFL next year.
Yeah.
Or next season, sorry. So see if you agree. Put someone in the comments if you agree or disagree. And then next week we'll be doing our top 32 as we go alternate numbers from 1 to 32.
But now I think it's time for Monday Night Showdown.
Yes, indeed. And it's your turn this week.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you bringing?
Okay, so let me do a whole setup and then I'll get your opinion. So since the draft is in Pittsburgh, I did want to do a Steelers-themed one. So let me set the scene. The Steelers roster is actually pretty good. Their O-line problems, a thing of the past. They were top 10 in the offensive line last year. They have great offensive weapons, especially with the pickup of Michael Pittman and Rico Dowdle. They have really good tight ends on the roster in Washington and Freiermuth. Washington is coming off injury. And then Warren and Metcalf are already there as well. Their defense is good, especially with the new additions to shore up the back end, which is a bit of an issue last year, in Brisker and Jamal Dean, who was a cornerback I liked out of Tampa. And they are a run-first and defense-led team, and all they need is a quarterback. So I think the Steelers should trade interstate for Jalen Hurts. He has a cap hit of $31 million this year, which isn't that much, and he has no guaranteed money left after that. I think it would solidify the Steelers as the favorites in the AFC North this year. I think you've got McCarthy, head coach, who we already know can coach a good offense. Like, his offense is always good. Hurts can move around in that division, which is important when you have some nasty edges coming at you, and Trey Hendrickson and Myles Garrett. He did have over 3,000 yards passing last year with 98 QBR, and the Steelers are unlikely as a team to ever be in the realm of drafting a top quarterback overall. It's very unlikely for them. So I just think there's not that much talent, as we talked about before we came on the show, in this draft. Why not trade your first round pick this year? And maybe they have 3/3 next year, maybe like 2/3 next year to get Jalen Hurts. That is my setup. What is your thought?
Justin Fields, who was that guy?
Oh, but Jalen Hurts way better than Justin Fields in terms of processing, passing.
Didn't really.
But Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts is way better processing and operating an offense over Justin Fields.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think, was there somebody in the draft this year? Obviously, your man, but then he's just can't do anything else. So I'm kind of thinking, is there actually, without spending 31...
I also don't think the Steelers are good at developing quarterbacks. I don't think organizationally they value quarterback. I think it would be much better if you've got a quarterback who's already has some experience coming in. I just don't think they're an organization that can take one of these young prospects and go to the promised land with them.
I mean, if you take Ben Roethlisberger out, they haven't had a decent developed quarterback in 25 years, if not more.
That's what I mean. I think you need to get...
Sorry, you go.
No, I was just going to say you need to get someone. It's just not going to work otherwise.
Whereas you've got the Packers, who just seem to be a quarterback machine. Like, they just had three quarterbacks in like 40 years or something stupid. I know it's not that much, but you know what I mean?
I think,
and I've said this multiple times on the show, that Jalen Hurts has been massively done wrong by probably the fans of the Eagles and the Eagles players. And I think he would deserve a new place. It's just, is he willing to change? And is that the problem at Philadelphia at the moment, that he's just a one-trick pony? Can he actually change?
I don't think he needs... I think because every time he's gone to the Super Bowl with the Eagles, it's when the Eagles have a great running game and a great defense. Steelers have that set up. They will pretty much consistently always have a good defense. They very much value the run and they put assets into the running game. So I just think it would be a good setup for Jalen Hurts. I think he can play in the weather as well, which is important because it's not warm and it's not called Heinz Field, but an Acrisure Stadium.
Yes.
During the winter months. And I think it would be a good move for everyone involved.
If that's what they wanted, though, I mean, I guess the hit would have been bigger, but Kyler Murray was kind of available.
Kyler Murray can't play in that weather, though.
Maybe
Kyler Murray is a stadium quarterback.
I mean, it's kind of like Tua, right? He couldn't play in the cold either.
No.
I wouldn't be adverse to that. I mean, would an interdivision rival, I mean, would the Eagles do that? I mean, obviously we've seen the Browns and people like that do that sort of stuff, but That's a pretty unique ownership that is happy to trade into division. So that'll be really interesting. I would be all in supportive of it because, as I say, I think Hurts has been done dirty by the Eagles. He was what? Super Bowl MVP 2-3 years ago?
Yes, and he actually should have been in the first Super Bowl he ever played, and he should have been Super Bowl MVP because he outplayed Mahomes by a long shot in that Super
Correct.
Bowl.
Yeah. I think that would be very interesting. It's just whether the Eagles would trade into division. I think they're open to trade him. Would they trade him to the Steelers? How much would that hurt?
I think it would be a good move. I also want to now ask you, if that was to happen, where are the Steelers now in terms of AFC? Because, their roster is good. Their head coach is a proven head coach who does a good offensive scheme. Their defense, I can't see why that would suddenly fall off the wagon. They've put assets into it. They've done what they need to do on that side. Where does the Steelers, if they had Jalen Hurts, now sit?
I think you've got to say that they would sit top right.
Yeah.
Because one thing that Rodgers didn't have last year was any mobility, and you could tell he was 41, 42. You could just tell with the speed. I mean, he's a superior arm accuracy, even at 42.
Oh, in processing, 100%, yeah.
He is still superior in that position, in those traits, rather. But you'd have to have them number one.
Yeah, because in that division, 100%. you need to be able to maybe slightly outrun Myles Garrett for two steps so that you can throw the ball away.
Yeah. I mean, where would you put them? Would you agree with that they would be number one?
I think you'd have to put them, probably number one.
I would put them one, the Ravens two, the Bengals three, and the Browns four, because the Bengals...
Off of the AFC North, I would put them one. I'm talking about whole AFC, where do you put them?
Oh, whole AFC, sorry. I thought you just mentioned their division, sorry.
No, in the division, it's obvious that they're one.
In the conference, I'd probably have them at six.
I don't know.
I wouldn't have them much bigger than last year, because I think the teams that got into the playoffs last year, like the Broncos, the Patriots, they've got youth, and they're going to be around for quite a few years.
Steelers are better than the Patriots. I would put the Steelers over the Patriots for Jalen Hurts.
I think the Patriots may struggle more this year because their schedule's going to hurt them. The Bills, obviously, a very aggressive offensive coach. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think the Bills, the Broncos, I don't know where the Chiefs are going to be this year. I can't really pick where they're going to be because I just don't know when Mahomes is coming back. I don't know what version of Mahomes is coming back. I mean, obviously, he's still going to be elite class, but is he going to be a bit like Lamar, that he's going to be hindered for pace? Because after a while, just all of the bashing just gets to you eventually.
Steelers. I would have them maybe two or three.
Four.
I'm just looking through the AFC now, and even then, again, just because I feel like I keep having to say this, the Broncos need to prove to me that they have a running game, and then I will put them first. But until they have a running game, it's a massive problem, because you just stop the run, and Bo Nix is not a good enough quarterback to throw you to a Super Bowl. And then Bills, I don't know.
I find that interesting, because with Bo Nix, the Broncos are in the Super Bowl. There's no way the Patriots win that game. And so,
but then they get destroyed in the Super Bowl. Well, by the Seahawks.
Maybe. But they're a Super Bowl caliber team.
But are they a Super Bowl winning team? I don't know if Bo Nix.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we were robbed, right? We were robbed, and we may never ever find out again. Only get that close that many times, right? We may never know.
And then the Steelers just got running through better than all of the AFC South with Jalen Hurts, because Texans' defense is amazing. Texans' offense, no idea. No idea. Colts, Daniel Jones coming off injuries, roster depleted quite excessively. Jags, potentially, but they actually lost a few key defensive players. And then Titans... They picked first overall last year. Yes. They're definitely better this year, and I would have them in playoff contention, but I wouldn't put them above a Jalen Hurts-led Steelers.
No. I think in the AFC, the Bills are better. I think the Jags and the Texans and the Broncos and maybe the Chargers.
Chargers, potential? Bills, I don't, because the Bills' defense is very much... The lack of defensive talent was hidden a lot by the fact that Sean McDermott's a good defensive coordinator. So I would greatly worry for the fact that you're going to have a massive drop-off on the defensive side of the ball. That I don't know if Josh Allen can make up for.
No, I mean, they keep saying... I mean, Jim Leonard, he's no slouch though, right?
No, but I think that will be an interesting one when the Bills come out.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Raiders.
I mean,
Chargers. Chargers have actually lost their defensive coordinator, which was by far the best side of their team. So that will be interesting to see how they replace that.
I mean, I think the Raiders are going to be interesting, right? Because they're going to have a weak schedule, but then they're going to start with Kirk Cousins. Yeah. The Raiders are going to be interesting to see how they pick in the draft and who they get. They're still probably going to be the fourth best team in that division.
But I would feel very comfortable in saying that the Steelers would be playoff contenders with Jalen Hurts as their quarterback.
Oh, look, I mean, after the season they had last year, they were pretty much playoff contenders, right? So...
Mm.
With a younger, more agile quarterback, not as accurate.
In a division that's not.
Nah.
The AFC North is not really there at the moment. It's not what it used to be.
But you look at it and you go, a division with Hurts, Lamar, Burrow, I will forget the Browns. I don't have to be nice to them. They were not our team anymore. But, like, how can that division be so average? You know what I mean?
It's because there's... So, Bengals offense, fantastic. Bengals defense, so terrible that they drag the team below average. When you have what is, like, stars on offense that you got...
That's a generational offense. That's like a generational offense, and it's being destroyed by... owners and by a coach. I just still don't know how Zach Taylor's got a job. It's just...
And then the Browns are the Browns. And the Browns are the Browns. The Browns will always have like one game in the season that you go, why did the Browns and how did the Browns win that? But they did. And they will always have one really random, very intense, very good game. And that's the Browns.
To me, I see one of two things happening this year with the Bengals. If they don't qualify for the playoffs again, Burrow demands a trade or Burrow retires?
It would be interesting. I think Burrow would probably demand a trade. What would be absolutely terrible, though, is he got traded to the Browns or something? Oh, God.
Just out of just, like, brutal. You've got to have a no-trade clause, right? Otherwise, it's just such a danger that just the Bengals just do a spiteful move like trading him.
Or if he got traded to the Jets or something.
Steelers would be amazing.
Yes. Joe Burrow at the Steelers would be amazing.
Oh, that would be
but
amazing.
It's more likely that Jalen Hurts would move.
I would say so, yes. So then, no, that's a good pick, and that would be fascinating to see if that played out.
I would love it. I'd love it for the NFL. That would also open up the NFC East as well.
Yes. It would be spicy as.
Mm-hmm. And I do actually think the Eagles GM has enough power that he could execute that in trading away your starting quarterback. Because Howie Roseman...
division rival, yeah.
Well, interstate rival, yeah.
But who do they then drop in a quarterback?
See, I think... Because you know how there's always those words about how they want to be a QB factory? I think they have a lot of faith in who they evaluate as talent. And that GM has a lot of power that I don't think there'd be a beast to this, to you're sure this is what you want to do. Okay, execute it, and then he'll bring in someone else. He will have lined up someone else. Yeah, they have Andy Dalton.
The Red Rocket. I mean, Sirianni, right? I mean, poor if there's someone walking on hot coals this season.
Yeah.
I mean, the GM seems to like him, and the owner seems to like him. But the fans are so, to quote an earlier food type, Marmite. On Sirianni, half of them love him and half of them absolutely despise him.
What would be, sorry, sort of what something very fun. What if the Eagles then trade for Joe Burrow?
Oh
my gosh. That would be spice. I would love that so much.
They've probably got the collateral to do it as well.
Oh, yeah. And then Burrow would be in the Super Bowl easy with that 100%. Eagles team. Yeah.
Okay. So, wow.
But this should be right, run around.
This draft is going to be spicy because of the lack of talent. There's going to be trades and all sorts going on. I think we're going to see some crazy things happen.
Look, if Hurts ends up with the Steelers, I feel like the Steelers need to give us something.
Yes. Yeah, we need to get free season tickets to the Steelers.
Something.
Sort of foreshadowing this happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
See ya.
Neither of us support them, but we'll take it.
We'll take it.
We'll take it.
Pittsburgh looks like a lovely city. I'll happily go there.
Poor cold. There again. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of cold cities in America.
Yes, so, Northern Hemisphere. Yeah.
If you are not watching football on the West Coast, you are cold.
Yeah, well, even Seahawks, Seattle gets cold.
Yeah, it does. And it rains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, there we go. That was Monday Night Showdown, and that is our show. So, as always, don't forget get on those social medias, especially YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and give us a follow and a subscribe, and you'll be the first to get all of our new upcoming content. So that was our show. My name's Darren Lees.
I'm DT.
And
enjoy
we'll be back again next Monday.
Our diversity on air, online, on demand, with funding support through New Zealand On Air.
weeks, and you know she's feeling fine. She ain't looking for no love. She ain't looking for a romance. She just wants to dance. She just wants to dance. Yeah, she just wants to dance. She just wants to dance.